Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Anita Stanley, and she's here to talk about Children's Peace Week. Hi, Anita. How are you?
I'm good, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now, will this take place right in Albany?
Yes, it will. It's going to be at the Friends Meeting House, which is at 727 Madison Avenue, right near the tennis courts in Washington Park. So it's right on the bus line. Although I have to say that we are providing transportation for some children that couldn't otherwise go. So it's a central place, and we'll get everybody there that wants to go.
Now, how long has this been in existence?
Well, it started, I think the idea came to a member of Albany Friends Meeting called Sue Clark, I think in 1999. She said she had sort of a vision of kids playing peacefully in the backyard and talked to people at meeting about it. And they decided that, you know, it was something that we really wanted to act on. So she started it. I guess the first year that it actually took place was 2000. And then it was at the meeting house until 2009, I think. And then in the year 2010, it was actually held at the RISE headquarters, which is the Refugee and Infant Support Services at Emmaus, which is a Methodist church right near Western Avenue. And so that summer it was held right there to give an emphasis on the multicultural feel that is so important to us and to make it easier for the kids at RISE to attend.
Now, can any child go? Can, you know, a African-American, a Caucasian?
Absolutely.
Child?
Everybody is welcome. The only restriction is that they be between second grade and eighth grade. It doesn't matter what the number of their age is. But we already have children signed up who have special needs. We have children of different races and complexions. We have people from different churches, different religions. We definitely have a wide variety of socioeconomic status. And our goal is to create that environment of multiculturalism by having all of these kids learn to be a community. So all our activities are centered around peace within the community of kids worldwide. You know, there are no restrictions.
So when these children come for the week, what do they do? What kind of activities are there?
Sure. We have three age groups, potentially. There'll be kids in grades 2 and 3, and then grades 4 and 5, and then 6, 7, and 8. And even though we'll have some large group activities, which would often take place either in the meeting room where we have our services on Sunday morning, or out in the backyard, which is can hold a lot of kids. But each group, in terms of learning to make peace within themselves, within their families, within their communities, within the world, will have activities that are targeted for their age group. So, for example, the older kids will be doing some more structured activities, things like learning how to do reflective listening, learning to make I statements rather than you statements when they're connecting with other people, doing a lot of role plays, you know, at that age, because they can really grasp the more conceptual pieces of peacemaking So we can really do a little more heady work, and dramatic play is a big part of that. And for the middle group, for example, here's one where they can become better readers of people's feelings, which is a big part of nonviolent communication. There'll be a big bowl full of pieces of paper, and on those papers are written different kinds of events, like a birthday party, or a cat dying, or your first day at school, or all sorts of things that you might have a wide variety of emotions around. So the kids sit in a circle, and then one child, they start one at a time, draws a piece of paper out of the bowl, and then they read it to themselves. They don't tell any other child. And then they have to model how they would feel when they had that particular situation. So the kids in the circle don't have to guess the situation, but they do have to try to guess the feeling. And as the situations become a little more complicated, or situations where, for like the first day of school piece, for some kids that's a day of joy and excitement. For other kids, it's a day of dread. So once they can see how to read those emotions on people's faces, then they have not won the game, but they have reached the goal that is the game, which is how to read other people's feelings. And then for the little ones, we have some cute things. One of them is called cooperative musical chairs, so that you play the music and stop, like the way that you often do with musical chairs. But instead of taking the chair away and eliminating the one person that is left when there are no more chairs, all the kids stay in. They just take one chair away each time. So it gets to be so funny, because as fewer and fewer chairs are available and the same number of kids are trying to sit in it, you know, they start sitting on each other's lap and hanging on each other's shoulders and sitting, you know, holding onto somebody's leg. It's kind of like Twister at the end. But it has a nice sense of comfortableness with each other by the time it's done, because it's filled with laughter and silliness. But it's a bonding activity that little kids can grasp, you know, and at the same time, there are no winners. You know, there's just a goal of the game, and that's the goal of a lot of our activities. So there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of activities, but those are just three examples of how we might individualize for the age group.
So the children, for the most part, when they start the week, would you say that most of the kids don't know each other?
For some of them, that's true. Our partners that we're partnering with for this, for example, the RISE kids from the Refugee and Immigrant Group, the director of RISE will be choosing kids to come. So it's likely that she'll choose some kids that already know each other. So those kids will. But, for example, kids that come from a big congregation like the Unitarians, another one of our partners, those kids might not know each other, because they're so big that, you know, they might not have had an opportunity to meet each other because they have different Sunday school classes. And the kids that just signed up because, you know, they picked up a pamphlet at the library or was in their church or the doctor's waiting room or wherever, those kids would definitely not know each other unless it was just a happenstance. But that's the key, is to meet new people, learn how to develop a sense of community. And it usually starts to happen about Wednesday. You know, Monday is just a day of learning where your cubby is, where you put your coat, you know, what the schedule is. Tuesday, you kind of get into learning more names, and Wednesday, you begin to see a little gel. You know, the kids start to bond and to know each other's names, and then Thursday, their old home week with, you know, they already love each other. And then on Friday, the families come in. We have a celebration toward the end of the day on Friday. And the families, the siblings come in. And then they're all introducing their brothers to their new friends and the new friends to the volunteers that help out. And that's a day of real celebration and practicing, you know, of all the things that they learned during the week.
So by the end of the week, do you think that there are a number of bonds that have formed that they will continue the friendship once the week is over?
Yeah, I do. And excuse me, we were actually talking about that last night when we were interviewing one of the teachers we have a wonderful pool of applicants, and we were talking about having some kind of get-togethers at a couple points over the winter, you know, maybe in the fall and maybe in deep winter and then maybe in the spring, and especially because we'd like to have a sense of continuity and have it, for example, improvements that we're thinking of for next summer might be things like having a longer day so we could accommodate people who work. Now, the latest that any of the children can stay is 1:30. And so for some people, that doesn't really fit their work schedule. So next summer, we'll be able to hopefully expand, to have a longer day. We'll have hopefully more sources of funding, and we'll already have a pool of kids, you know, who we can count on to come back. So I hope they will remember and come back the next year.
So if somebody hears this program that you and I are talking on and they want to have their children participate in the program, how can they do so?
Sure. Well, we have a website. The website is https://childrenspeaceweek, that's all one word, .weebly, and that's W-E-E-B as in Bob, L as in lollipop, and Y as in the word yes, .com. So it's childrenspeaceweek.weebly.com. And on that website, it has a registration form, which people can print out and send in, or they can call us and we can fill out the paperwork for them. The one thing that we were able to do for the job applicants and the volunteer applicants is they can do that right online, but we weren't able to do that for the kids who are registering. So when a mom or dad or a friend goes online to sign up a child, they actually can sign up there, but they have to actually contact us or they can say, please contact me. You know, that's fine, too. They can put in their email, and then we'll call them and send them the paperwork, and then they can fill that out. Or we have kind of blanketed the Capital District with our brochures. So a lot of people might have seen them already, you know, at their banks or at their grandma's nursing homes or wherever, they're all around. Plus the fact that they can go online to two sites. One is called kidsoutandabout.com, and we have an ad in there. And another site is called just albany.com, and then you go to that site and then click on the link for summer camp.
So is there Is there a fee for this?
I want to emphasize in the strongest words that no child will be turned away because of inability to pay. We have a lot of people who are sponsoring kids. And if we have a family that has multiple children, which we've had before, the maximum that they would have to pay would be $100, as if they were sending two. But if they have more than two kids, it would not be any more for them to send the whole family.
Now, you talked about activities. Do you serve meals? Do the children learn about meals from different cultures and foods from different cultures?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We'll have a snack every day, and one of the things that we want to be really sensitive to is the fact that we'll have different dietary needs that are more than just allergies, you know, more than just a gluten-free meal or something. But we want to emphasize that the kids that are coming from the different countries at their refugee support center, and the Family Promise kids could have come from Texas, and, you know, that family might know more about barbecue things, or we have someone from China already signed up. You know, that would be wonderful if they could educate us about that. And on Thursday, it's possible and quite likely that it's going to be an extended day where the whole camp makes food from the different countries and types of cooking that we want to emphasize. So the little ones will be scraping carrots and cutting bananas, and the older ones will be cutting up melons or whatever, and we'll make a feast. But it's not for us to eat. It's actually for us to take to either a homeless shelter or to any other place in Albany that, you know, would want or appreciate a group meal that's been prepared by a number of little hands lovingly. And that's why we have that extended day, so we can have the whole day preparing that meal.
This sounds very interesting. So, again, can you tell me the time frame? When will you guys be doing this?
Sure. It's going to be August 13th to 17th, which is a Monday through Friday. And the kids the camp officially starts every day at 8:30, but we'll have an early drop-off, which we'll talk to individual families, you know, about when they might need to get their kids there. And we'll also have, even though the camp itself gets out at 12:30, we'll have an extended hour, probably till 1:30, and we'll have probably some of the interns, you know, will get paid extra to stay and play with the kids. And for the kids that stay for that extra hour, they would need to bring their lunch, because we're only providing the, you know, the snack and then the big meal on Thursday, but that's not for us to eat. That within that time frame, it's 5 days a week and the possible extended day on Thursday.
So how many years have you been involved in this program?
Well, this is totally new to me. Okay. I was a member of Quaker Meeting when it was running before, which was 2000 to 2009. But I wasn't heavily involved. My kids were all grown and out of the home, my own children. And actually one of my grandchildren did go. But I was working full time, and it was I couldn't take the whole week off to get involved. But how it happened to come about to rise up again, so to speak, was that this past summer, I think it was maybe around June, one of our members who had passed away was very, very a mother figure, a good friend, with someone else, a much younger person, decided to give a gift of a good sum of money to the meeting in memory of the person that had passed away. So when we were talking, and we had a meeting to decide what to do with it, and Sue Clark, who was the initiator of the original camp, said, well, would anybody be interested in doing Peace Camp? And that was when the seed was planted in my mind. So I let it germinate a little while, excuse me, and by August I was hooked and beginning to have all sorts of ideas about what to do. And it is a project of Albany Friends Meeting, even though we're partnering with the Unitarians, the Refugees at Rise, and also Family Promise, which is a program for families that are temporarily homeless and are given a place to live by one of the churches in the Capital District for a short amount of time. So what we've agreed to do is to have whatever kids are living in any one of the churches that shelter them during that week in August, we'll take those kids, whoever it is. So that way we'll be able to variety of kids, and just to make sure that we're getting to the diversity that is our main goal. Oh, I know, and just how I got started on that was, so when it was originally a program of Albany Friends Meeting, and it still is, the goal was to bear witness to the Quaker Peace Testimony, which is a commitment to reconciliation and nonviolence in all spheres of life. So while we, by no means does anybody have to be a Quaker to either be a teacher or one of the kids, we do ask that they come with that framework in mind, because that's the whole goal of the camp. So we've been able to access some funding sources from the Quakers on the state level, in view of implementing that goal with the kids that come.
So in our final moments, can you give the contact information in case anybody wants to contact your organization?
Yeah. Well, first I'll give my own personal contact, which is fine, and then I'll give the website information again. My name is Anita Stanley, S-T-A-N-L-E-Y, and you can phone or text at 518-441-7722, and my email is meridiancom, that's M-E-R-I-D-I-A-N-C-O-M-M, @ earthlink.net, and that's also on the website. But the website again is https://childrenspeaceweek, all one word, .weebly.com.
Great. Terrific, Anita. So good luck with this, and I hope it's a success, and maybe later on we could talk about how successful it was. Would you like to do that?
I would love to do that. That would be great. Maybe I can bring one of our campers on, and we can have a testimonial from one of the kids.
That sounds great. So you have been listening to Anita Stanley, and can you tell us the name of your organization again?
Sure. It's Children's Peace Week, and the organization that is sponsoring it is Albany Friends Meeting, who are the Quakers.
Okay, so you have been listening to Anita Stanley on Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. Favorite comment about this show, # Focus on Albany. Thank you, Anita,
You're welcome.
For taking the time. to talk about your program this summer. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.